today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have an expert, medically speaking, with us on the set today, Dr. Sheftall. Dr. Sheftall has written 2 books, published 2 books on the subject of COVID. One of them is titled Sanctioned, The COVID Murders. The other is called Heroes and Villains, The COVID-19 Book of List. In just a moment, I'm going to ask Dr. Sheftall, if you would, to give us a little overview of each of these books and why it's important for you to own one for your personal library. We have Greg on the line. He's been holding since before the news. Greg, if you don't mind, restate your question for Dr. Sheftall and allow him to respond to that for us.
All right. Since I'm convinced with the disclosures that are being made right now, today, I believe people over the next 90 days or so will be searching, massively searching for ways to detox. So that word will come up a lot. Is there a legitimate detox that you know of for aluminum, thimerosal, the mercury agent in these vaccines so we can eradicate it from our bodies?
The best detox, Greg, that I can think of is not to take the vaccine. Now, given that some people have taken the vaccine, I want to direct them to a very, very important website, if that's okay. It's called howbadismybatch.com. I don't know if you've heard of that website before. Have you, Greg?
Yes, I've heard of that. I've not visited that, but I understand batch by batch by batch, you see variability in the actual impact, negative impacts on the society.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And what it shows an awful lot of things that are really important, too, and it shows you that there was some nefarious activity that went on, and let me explain that. First of all batches were not the same. 100% of the deaths, for example, came from 5% of the batches. Okay? So that means that it wasn't a random selection of batches that caused the death. They caused the death in a very select number of batches. But the way it works is, you get a hold of your batch number from your doctor. He should have records that list the batch number that was injected into you and your family. And then you go to howbadismybatch.com and you will see how many deaths arose from that batch. Just to put your mind at ease, I hope. Because when you look at the batch number versus the number of deaths and the number of serious illnesses that resulted from that batch number, from being injected with that batch number, you're going to see that as you go down the line of batch numbers, it looks horrible at first. The density of death and serious adverse events is very high at the beginning of the list, and it drops off fairly quickly And some, of course, some batches were responsible for zero deaths. And if you're in zero severe effects, so if you're able to see something like that for a batch that applies to you, you're going to feel very good about it. So do that first. Now, if you happen to get into a batch where the there was a lot of death and serious adverse events, there is reason to be concerned about it. And if thimerosal was in your batch, of course, you're going to be very concerned about it. And is there a antidote for mercury? Boy, that's a very tough question, and I'm not absolutely sure, and I don't want to say something that I'm not absolutely positive is correct. So I would have to defer you to a toxicologist. And I apologize for that, but I don't want to be wrong, and I don't want to mislead you. But first, check on howbadismybatch.com. This was a website that was set up by Sasha Latipova, who used to be a pharmaceutical executive. She helped us create that website. And so please do that. And then if, like I said before, if everything goes the wrong way for you, you need to contact a toxicologist.
Thank you for the wisdom of your words. Thank you for sharing with us today. You are much appreciated.
You're welcome, sir.
Greg, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to call today. And it's our prayer that those that are listening will be edified, encouraged, and challenged, informed in relationship to things that they might, questions they might have on their mind. Thank you so much and have a great day. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Kenneth.
Good afternoon, yes. I have a question. Okay. My wife took a flu shot, I guess about a month or two ago.
Okay.
And I felt bad because I told my doctor, because she kept insisting, you need to get the flu shot, you need to get the flu shot.
Right.
Okay, we went back to the clinic and found out my wife got the flu. So what kind of shot she got?
And okay.
The young lady was... Yeah, the doctor didn't come out. It was a practitioner, a nurse.
Sure, the nurses are usually the ones that administer the shots. The doctors get paid right. for it, but the nurses do the work.
Okay, but she said that sometimes it doesn't happen. I mean, because I told my doctor, I said, hey, 25 years ago, maybe 25 or 30 years ago, because I'm less than 100, I said, when I got that flu shot, I got sick as a dog.
Yes, sir.
I'm not taking a flu shot. I can tell it to her, no, no, no. But when my wife told me that she had taken it, I said, well, just to be safe side on her side, you know, to make sure she'll be all right.
Well,
I took the shot about two weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
And they said, I'm negative. You know, they came out to the car.
Okay.
And our nose and everything like that. And say, okay, you're negative, but she's, like, positive.
Okay. Now, let me say a few things about this. I'm sorry. Could you continue, please? I didn't mean to interrupt you. I do want to say a few things about it.
I said, to my mind, I said, what the heck is going on? She got a flu shot.
Right.
And, you know, when I found out she got the flu shot a couple of months ago, I said, okay, to protect my wife, I went ahead and got a flu shot.
Okay. First of all, there's a fundamental difference between the COVID-19 shot, the COVID-19 vaccine, and the flu vaccine. The difference is, for the flu vaccine, you're getting a different platform used, okay? That's the best way I can explain it. In other words, when you get a flu shot, they're injecting the antigen into you. Whereas when you get a COVID-19 shot, they're not injecting the antigen into you. They're injecting the modified RNA into you and expecting your cells to make the antigen. Let me say that again because I've got the hiccup problem with my cancer. I'm sorry.
No problem, sir.
There's a difference in platform. With the COVID-19 shot, they're expecting our own cells to make the antigen. Whereas with the flu shot, the antigen itself is injected into us. Is that clear?
Yes, sir. Can I ask you a question?
Okay, so let me just follow through to make sure you understand that the difference, what the significance of the difference is. The significance of the difference is that because we're making our own antigen, the cell that does the making is going to be destroyed. And we don't know what organ it's going to be in. It's not going to necessarily be in the deltoid like we were promised. It could be anywhere in the body. It could be in our endothelium. It could be in our ovaries, our testes. It could be anywhere. Okay? And that cell is going to be destroyed now. So that's going to cause some cellular damage. For the flu shot, they actually inject the antigen itself into our subcutaneous tissue, and an immune response is made based on that. So it doesn't cause cell destruction. That's a very important difference. When I debated Dr. Bhattacharya, our National Institutes of Health director on this, he at first did not realize that the platform would be different. And that's why no one should have ever accepted getting a COVID-19 vaccine. Not a single person in the United States. Because this was the first time we had ever allowed a different platform to be used. We knew there was nothing that was known about the long-term side effects of using lipid nanoparticles as a delivery agent. It guaranteed that cells would be destroyed. Okay? We had never used that platform before. And so no one should have gotten the COVID-19 vaccine. We've been having the flu vaccine for many years, as you pointed out. And that does not cause cell destruction. Okay? Because we inject the antigen in itself. We don't expect the cells of the body to do it. Do you understand the difference?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Can I ask you this question right quick?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, the way Big Pharma is right now, and some of these crooked politicians, can they slip in the COVID-19 shot with the flu shot?
Well, they do have some I wonder what word I would use to explain that. But there are some combination vaccines out there where the COVID-19 and the flu shot are given to the patient at the same time. And, of course, if that's the case, you're going to receive both platforms at the same time. And that is very dangerous. Again, because you don't want to be taking a vaccine where you are expected to produce the antigen yourself. That's going to cause cellular destruction and organ damage.
All right, Kenneth, I hope that was an answer for you, and it was a benefit and a blessing
yes,
to our other listeners.
Thank you
so much for calling today.
You're welcome.
Dr. Shaftal, let me ask you a question. At the time, at the apex of the COVID vaccination, we were all told, the nation, the globe was told, that it was safe for pregnant mothers, for women that were going to give birth to a child. I'm looking at an article that says 36 women who gave birth, 80% of them lost their babies, who were pregnant, lost their babies.
Yes.
And the article states here, when you pull back the curtain on Pfizer's own trial documents, what you find is horrifying. 270 women got pregnant during COVID vaccines. 80% of them lost their babies.
Yes.
And yet we were told that it's safe for pregnant women. Speak to that for a moment for our listeners that may have experienced that, may have not understood that, or may still be thinking that I need to take the, in fact, they're starting a new regimen now of saying that we're going to have a new version or a new, how would you say, virus of COVID-19, a reoccurrence of that, and everybody needs to be prepared. We're going into the fall. You need to start thinking about getting your COVID vaccination. Speak to this in relationship to the lies that we've been told about the COVID vaccination, and yet it is promulgated on the news and every media today, advertising, promoting something about that and or other drugs. We'll talk about others in a moment.
Okay, I'd be happy to do it and enthusiastic about speaking on that.
Yes.
Because this is something that is very hard for people to understand, even medical doctors, allopathic doctors. They're going to have to open up their mind when they hear this because they're going to be shocked to hear it. Science, let's take the broad brush and call it science. And I don't mean Dr. Fauci, by the way. Little joke there. But science has never isolated a virus from a sick organism, including a human being. Mm-hmm. That's never happened once in history. Now think about that for a second.
Explain that.
Well, it really doesn't take much explaining. There's been a lot of attempts to isolate a virus from a human being who's sick, but they can't seem to do it. Mm-hmm. And if there were, people would be rich because there's millions of dollars in rewards waiting for anyone who can do this. It has not been done and cannot be done. The entire paradigm that we were taught in our best universities and in medical school about a virus being a particle was incorrect. The Latin word for virus is poison. Mm-hmm. Now, we are taught that viruses are tiny particles, too small to see with a light microscope, so we have to see them with an electron microscope, and that's because the de Broglie wavelength of an I was a physics major, and I can explain why we can see them with electron microscopes, but not with light microscopes.
Okay.
And I've explained that a little bit, and I'd rather explain it in a simpler form today. And if we have time, I'm glad to explain the details of it later. Would you prefer me to explain the details now, or would you
give just a simple thumbnail sketch?
Mm-hmm. You can see things with an electron microscope because the particles that you're using to bounce off of that thing have a very small wavelength associated with them. Whereas the photons that we use to bounce off of larger objects have a larger wavelength associated with them. For example, the visible spectrum runs from 400 nanometers, which is still very small, which is the color violet, up to 700 nanometers, which is the color red. And that's over the entire electromagnetic spectrum, which ranges from 100 million nanometers to 10 to the minus 18th nanometers. Mm-hmm. So there's an enormous range for the electromagnetic spectrum, and the visible spectrum is a tiny little sliver right in the middle of it. Okay. Viruses are too small to be seen with the electron microscope.
Gotcha.
I'd like to point that out. Mm-hmm. We can't see viruses with an electron microscope, and that's where a lot of the trouble began, frankly. Viruses were too small to be seen, and so all sorts of characteristics were attributed to them, which simply were not true.
Okay.
And I want to tell you about those characteristics right now.
All right.
We were all taught that viruses are tiny particles that have no digestive system, that have no respiratory system, that have no way of moving about in the environment, that have no way of producing energy for themselves, okay? So the theory goes that these virus particles have to be absorbed into a cell. It could be a plant cell, it could be an animal cell like that we have. And inside that cell, the virus is a small package which contains either messenger RNA or DNA. Okay, it has either RNA in it or DNA. Mm-hmm. That's very important because that RNA or DNA gets in a position where it can hijack the replication machinery of our own cells.
Yes.
And use the ribosomes and the transfer RNA to make copies of itself. This is how it replicates.
Yes.
According to the theory, which is all wrong, and I'm going to tell you why. But it uses the replication machinery that's already inside our own cells. And that's ribosomes and transfer RNA and so forth. And it gets awfully complicated when I tell you how all that is done.
Yes.
But that's okay. Just accept that that's the theory that it's done. And in that little piece of RNA has enough information to make a perfect copy of itself. Now, here's where the fraud occurs, like in COVID-19. And I want the audience to listen very careful to this. After a million or so copies are made, since they are all made from the same piece of RNA, they should all be exactly the same size, shouldn't they?
Right.
Because they're made from a piece of RNA that has them make perfect copies of themselves. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if there are millions of copies being made, then why haven't we seen a single isolated virion in a sick patient? We haven't seen one yet. There are million-dollar rewards for it. People could go pick up $1 million if they can just find one viral particle, and they can't find it. Isn't that odd?
Very odd.
When we ask the virologists about this, they will admit that they can't find any virions either. And they can go pick up the $1 million reward, mm-hmm. but they can't find them either. And their excuse for it is there aren't enough of them to find a copy. And so the obvious question is, if there aren't enough of them to make a copy, then what's making us sick?
Yes.
There aren't any copies of the virions inside people's lungs that are causing us for our oxygen saturation to drop very low. Then why are we getting sick and dying if there aren't any copies in there?
What is your answer?
Well, my answer is they're lying.
That's the whole point.
Sure, they're making up the story. There's a lot of fraud associated with it.
Well, that's Big Pharma. And the question then that I must ask is, and I've used that as an illustration many, many times, should Big Pharma be charged with murder and tried for doing so, or lying, deceit, killed millions of people? What's the answer?
Yeah, I coined a term called stochastic murder, and it's a mathematical term, but let me explain it because everyone will understand it. They should be prosecuted for murder. Now, as you may know, and I'm sure you do, Dr. Youngblood, let's make it clear to the audience so they understand it. The government has given blanket immunity to the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes.
For any kind of harm that arises out of the use of these vaccines. You're well aware of that,
yes.
Aren't you? Okay. That should never have been granted.
That's true.
And I believe it was granted by President Reagan initially. But whatever president granted it, it should not have been done. It causes a large corporation to cut corners, and that is the beginning of the end when you give them the method for cutting corners like that. Mm-hmm. But just to finish, again, what the virologists say, so I can really attack them where it hurts. A virologist will also tell you that the reason we can't find any viral particles, and no one in the history of medicine has found a single viral particle in a dead sick person, not even a dead person, but a sick person. We have never found a viral particle, and there's million-dollar rewards waiting for them. Mm-hmm. The reason is because they're intracellular. They need to be inside cells to replicate.
Yes.
But if they're inside cells all the time, how can it spread from one person to another? Mm-hmm. They have to come out of the person's mouth. Didn't we have to wear masks for some reason? Mm-hmm. So shouldn't it be easy to get a few million of them and stick them to a piece of scotch tape and show that there are isolated viral particles, and go pick up our $1 million from the people who are offering $1 million to anybody who can find a virus particle?
That's the reason you're saying in your book, sanction the COVID murders, and you talk about it being a lie. There's no such thing as COVID.
Yeah, there's no such thing as COVID or SARS-CoV-2.
So what we're talking about, Dr. Sheffield, is that we have been lied to by Big Pharma.
Yes.
And right now, with the present administration, Trump administration, and Robert Kennedy is the head of HHS,
yes.
They're simply saying no more requirements for COVID vaccinations, no more requirements for vaccinations in general. And as Dr. Bartichardi said, I believe it was, and also Robert Kennedy, that a person has a right to say what is put into their bodies, and therefore a parent, an individual, whether it's for the child or for the adult, has the right to say no to any vaccination. And yet we have the left that's all upset, saying that millions are going to die as a result of that. I'm thankful for what we see taking place with President Trump and with Robert Kennedy and the actions that they're doing and carrying out. I'm looking at a headline that says, Big Pharma, list of nasty side effects in television commercials. They're about to get longer. In fact, one of the things that you find with the vaccination and with their claims about other medications, they're bombarding the airways that everybody thinks we've got to have this medicine or that medicine or the other. Robert Kennedy is about to put a stop, as I understand it, to the television commercials telling you about, ask your doctor. What are your thoughts about television commercials about medications like that?
Well, I don't know much about the television commercials, but in my book, the Appendix 1, which I'd like you to take a look at, which, of course, we can't show because this is a radio show, there are 8 pages of over 1,300 serious adverse events. And I'm talking about serious ones.
Yes.
I'm talking about blood clots in the ventricle of the heart, okay, as one of the 1,300 side effects. And you can read them right here. You can read a few of these. But these are listed in Appendix 1 of my book. And you'll get to read page after page after page of these horrible side effects.
And this is the very reason, Doctor, that I want our listeners to understand. Your two books called Sanction, the COVID Murders, Volume 1, and Heroes and Villains, the COVID-19 Book of Lists. You can go to the website, conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore, and those are high profiled in the Conservative Theological University bookstore for you to go there, buy them, read them, keep them as a future reference to share with others and to be found and to be able to find answers to your questions about COVID-19, excuse me, and the vaccinations that have been supposedly beneficial and not beneficial at all. Doctor, we are thankful that you've taken time to be with us today, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind, let me suggest that everyone listening be in prayer for Dr. Sheftall's future surgery. He has a cancer on his throat. He'll be having surgery to have that removed. Pray that God will provide the healing and the health and the wisdom for the doctors in doing so. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida.